the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And welcome to the radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. He's the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. And I'm Joe Galewski. Thanks for listening to the show this week. To reach Dr. Mike on the phone, 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. udox@gmail.com. Give us a try on iHeartRadio at RadioMD, and you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio. It's a special news and update station that you can customize. Go to iHeartRadio.com and then download the app or use it on the web. When you go to the web, click Talk. In the main menu, then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and there we are. Dr. Mike, you ready to go today?
I am. Bridget said this is going to be a sensational show, so we're ready and we're willing.
I have a good feeling.
Okay, there are the ingredients that make cookies and cakes taste better. Pie crust flakier, but yesterday the FDA said artificial trans fats are no longer recognized as safe, and the FDA says they're going to ban them.
What do you think?
You know, they said they prevent 20,000 heart attacks and 7,000 deaths. They could ban cigarettes and stop 100,000 deaths a year.
My point exactly. They're going to ban trans fat, but we still sell alcohol and tobacco.
I didn't know you were going to make that point, Joe.
The alcohol in moderation.
She needs to go to the microphone. If
you
Bridget
need to go
is
to
there.
The microphone better.
Sounds like she's in a... In a restroom stall.
Much better.
I'm not in a restroom stall.
Okay. Something's wrong with her mic. Okay.
I think I've got it suppressed. Try it now.
Hello.
Okay, good.
That was my fault.
Yay to the trans fat ban.
Oh, come on. I mean, where's this going to end?
Well, I hope it starts. The next one is with cigarettes, Joe, but we're never going to get there.
Well, what do they replace trans fats with, though? I talked to a baker about this, and they're going to replace trans fat with butter.
Well, you don't need to replace trans fats. A lot of times, you can get the same moisture, for example, with an omega-3 chia seeds as your, if you will, wetting agent. It holds 10 times its weight in water, and you don't need the fat.
But is a bakery going to do that?
Well, hopefully they'll do that because it tastes just as good and is much healthier for you.
Well, and I think that this will lead to people having to find other ways, find alternatives, because they can't use trans fats, so maybe this will advance food technology in a good way.
And where does personal responsibility come in?
Oh, it comes in at number one, Joe,
sure.
As you know.
Sure.
But the problem with trans fat labeling before they announced that they're going to remove trans fats from the generally recognized as safe list is that it was very deceiving for people because the FDA allowed up to 0.5 grams of trans fat in any kind of food, but a package could still say, any nutrition label could still say 0 grams of trans fat as long as it was below 0.5.
But what if the guy who now isn't able to eat anything with trans fat in it, what if the guy still goes to the drive-through window and orders 10 double cheeseburgers a week?
He's going to get a lot of trans fat that way.
Yeah.
Well, what happens?
He's also going to get a lot of saturated fat.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What happens to the guy who still does that?
Well, again, you
although he can't eat a donut with trans fat.
You said it right. It's personal responsibility.
But saturated fat isn't as harmful as trans fat. Trans fat increases bad cholesterol while it decreases good cholesterol.
Wait a second. They're just as bad. I mean, saturated fat is just as bad. So, Joe, let's go to another subject.
Well, wait, hold on. But hold on a second. I mean, I just have a couple questions. Maybe you can answer them. I think it's going to make stuff taste like cardboard, so that'll cut down on the obesity problem, wet cardboard. But, I mean, I did a little research on this. There's been like a 75% decrease in trans fat over the past 10 years, and I think we're eating a gram per day versus 4 grams per day. So, I mean, at least are we going in the right direction?
Oh, we're definitely going in the right direction, Joe.
I agree.
But we're already doing that now. That's what I'm just saying.
Why are they doing it now? Because no one can object now. They've all found alternatives, et cetera. So there's nobody going to object. So that's why they're doing it.
Yeah,
now.
There's no, and the, yeah, and since they say there's no safe level at which to consume artificial trans fat, companies will have a hard time. I mean, challenging this during the 60-day comment period.
So. Well, and even after the 60-day period, a company, since it's being removed from the grass list, which means that if a food company wanted to try and prove to the FDA that it was okay for them to add the trans fat to their food product and they were able to provide evidence that it wouldn't harm a person, they could keep it in. So if a company is really that adamant about it.
It's an impossible standard. Joe, go to the next subject.
I want to talk about the guest at 35 after the hour, the traumatic brain injury.
Book. Right. So we have concussions are more recognized as more common. I'm going to get her feeling on how you rehabilitate your brain. That is what you do to bring your brain back after you have an injury. What to tell your kids? You know, who was it who we had on the program last week who, when I said, what would you tell your child if he wanted to play football? And the person's response was golf.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to see whether golf is also Dr. Robert Diane Roberts Stoller's answer, since Diane actually had a traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, she's had a couple of issues, right? She fell off a lounge chair, right? One of her problems.
Had to fall off a lounge chair.
Well, I think that's what it said. I think the press note said it, that she had an injury falling off a lounge chair, too. But anyway, that'll be at 35 minutes after the hour. Do you have a Real Age tip for us in the hour?
I do, and it's on low back pain, Joe. What's the best thing to do for low back pain?
Okay, I got it today. I'm going to be listening by the end of the hour.
Okay, by the end of the hour, you'll have low back pain, low back pain already?
It'll be on the way to being solved. See, I'm playing golf now, and I'm not using a push cart. I'm carrying my bag and
why
walking.
Are you doing that?
Well, because it's too wet. It's pretty muddy. So
rather injure your body than just stop playing golf.
No, I just don't. It's really muddy, and I don't want to take the cart out there. But it's a light bag. It's a light bag. But I walk when I play, and I carry a bag. So.
Fewer clubs.
Yeah. Fewer. Actually, you could go out and play with three clubs and probably have the same score, right?
Well, you need a driver, probably a fairway wood, a 5-wood, a 5-iron, and a putter.
And you need a putter.
You probably need a sand wedge.
Yeah. Supplements are blamed for liver toxicity, one of our medical stories this week. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this is an interesting story because they can't separate out which of the supplements are, in fact, doing this. But there are supplements that seem to be related to liver toxicity. And the most common kind, well, I'm going to ask you, since you haven't read this, what do you think the most common kind related to liver damage?
Common kind of...
Supplements,
liver damage.
There were 840 in the drug-induced liver injury network.
Cholesterol pills.
No, there were 845 cases of liver damage related to supplements.
Okay.
And of that, the 50% of them were due to muscle building supplements that bodybuilders use.
Wow. Okay. But don't cholesterol pills, they check your liver every six months for liver damage?
That's a known side effect of statin drugs. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty rare. It's less than 1%.
But what causes is the bodybuilding supplement that bodybuilders use? Is that
the bodybuilding supplement, which are largely, I would think, protein, but it turns out that the liver was a source of target of many of these, whether it's because they get too much protein, whether it's because something is added to the supplement that shouldn't be in there. It's unclear why this is happening, but it is happening. Generally, the bodybuilders who got this were younger, exclusively male, heavier, and more likely to have no other problem, meaning they didn't.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So, it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours. All of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you weekly by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. 877-711-5211, udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs at gmail.com is the email address. America running out of doctors? Dr. Mike, yes or no?
Well, have you ever had a problem getting one, Joe?
Not really, no.
No, and that's most people don't find that. There are some delays, and the problem is if you base this on numbers that we use now, you know, the common number of of one primary care physician can take care of 2,000 people, et cetera, you'd say that we will be 50,000 doctors short in, I think it is 2030, and 90,000 doctors short in 2050. But in fact, you know, we find ways around that. We have imported doctors, that is, had physicians come in and train here from other countries when our medical schools didn't produce enough. What is bothersome now is that the residencies, that is, the programs that train them, are no longer going to be reimbursed by Medicare, a large way of reimbursing them, and that's part of the new healthcare law. At least that's one of the proposals in the law, or potentials in the law. It hasn't been enacted yet. But if that happens, many hospitals will restrict even further the number of resident slots they have, which will put a real kibosh and do a real shortage. Now, Joe, this happened for about 3 years in Canada. Canada was quick to reverse it, but they had a weird part of the law also where they were not, where they were reimbursing, but they were really strictly limiting and were reimbursing in a way to promote primary care physicians. So the best of the class went into primary care, the worst of the class went into neurosurgery. The neurosurgeons didn't know the left from the right side of the brain, which left a real detriment in the quality of specialists they were training for a period of year. And as, of course, the family practitioners in Canada were assigned to the North Circle, where they quickly were ability to drink a lot during their stay, because that's all you can do up in that area of the country if you're really brilliant. So it was a very bad law in Canada. They quickly reversed it. It took only 3 years, and they quickly reversed it. I don't think we're going to have that same quickness in the United States. We generally don't on laws like this. And so the problem will be that if this really occurs, you're going to need to find a physician, befriend them, befriend their office manager so that you can get in when you need to. So there is a reasonable point to establishing a long-term relationship with a relatively young group of specialists in a place where you know you'll be living or likely to live. So, for example, in Cleveland, if you're about 65, you would want to befriend a group of practitioners who are in their 40s so that when you need care 20 years from now, they're still able to find you great doctors to refer you to.
How do you befriend somebody? How do you do that?
Well, when you go in, you act nice. Bring them walnuts, Joe.
Now, or bring them an apple. That's why I brought Dr. Royce an apple today.
At my six-month wellness checkup this week, my doctor said when it's time for me to retire, in all probability, his successor will be somebody from another country.
Well, remember the physicians. We've had a number of physician input, and it's a high number, and I think it's around 20% of the residents are from another country now. That doesn't mean they're less good.
No.
Some of our best physicians are from other countries, so. The guy who did coronary artery bypass, the best of the coronary artery bypass surgeons at the Cleveland Clinic who started that, was from another country. He went back to Argentina, in fact, when he got very famous and established his own clinic there, where he was from. And the best of the mitral valve surgeons now, or at least one of the two best, is from Slovakia and is a great friend. So if I need mitral aortic valve repair, which I probably will in 20 years, I've got a great physician lined up.
Well, that may not be a bad thing. You know why? Because they say learning another language may help delay dementia. How about that segue?
It's a brilliant segue. And the real question is, should we send Brett Farr up to Canada to learn French as well as English? Because learning two languages does delay dementia about 4.5 years. blocking stress and doing physical activity or other ways of doing it. So he's probably been doing physical activity. I hope he's still doing that. And I hope he's got not much stress in his life. But obviously, he came up and said, I may have traumatic brain dysfunction or something because I can't remember my daughter playing soccer last year.
That's too bad. But keeping the brain active, learning another language, just keeping the brain active, just like you would if you did crossword puzzles or did anything that required any mental stimulation, that can't do anything but delay that kind of onset
right.
of dementia.
Right, but remember, you know, on a 0 to 100 scale, when you look at what helps with memory retention, stress relief is about a 26. Your physical activity is about a 24. Food choices a 20. Learning another language about a 4. Okay. So really the most important things are blocking stress, learning a technique to meditate or whatever technique you learn to be able to manage stress, doing physical activity, a little intense physical activity, and eating right for your brain.
All right, coming up in about 8 minutes, our guest, Dr. Diane Roberts-Stoller. Her book is called Coping with Concussion and Mild Traumatic Brain Injury. It's a guide to living with the challenges connected with post-concussion syndrome and brain trauma. That's our guest in about 8 minutes. Before we go to the break and get to the guest at 35 past the hour, they analyzed thousands upon thousands of kids' meals and how many of those kids' meals actually were good for kids.
Well, I thought you'd love this story then, and Bridget dug this up, so we should let Bridget answer this question.
Well, they found only 1% was healthy for kids.
33, right? How many was it?
33 meals, but right. 1%. Yeah.
Right.
Which is crazy, but not that surprising, I guess, because although they noted that there's been certain improvements, like McDonald's and their Happy Meal has now reduced the size of their French fries to offering a half serving with an apple instead of a full serving, a half serving of French fries with an apple instead of a full serving of French fries. And
how many kids do you think get it with the apple?
Well, if it's the default, then I would say a lot, because when you're in the drive-thru, I don't know if a kid
that goes in the garbage can probably for a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Well, out of 5,427 kid meals, only 33 were healthful.
Yeah. I was surprised there were that many kids' meals, over 5,000 different kids' meals. Good grief, that's a lot, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
The other thing that is interesting, what was the portion? This is a quick question, Joe. How many calories in a McDonald's fries, regular fries, in 1980? How many now?
1980 McDonald's fries, 800.
240.
Okay.
How many now?
180.
650.
Oh.
How many in a Five Guys? One serving of fries at a Five Guys.
Five Guys.
Yeah. 1,464, and that's before the ketchup.
See, I've got personal responsibility enough to say that's too many calories. I can't eat something. I mean, that's where personality comes. Personal responsibility comes in. At those numbers, man, you're crazy to eat that stuff. All right, coming up is the break, and then we'll get into our guest, Dr. Diane Roberts-Stoller, on coping with concussion and mild traumatic brain injury on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world.
It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom.
Thanks, honey. I'm very proud of you.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julianne and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Diane Roberts-Stoller is a neuropsychologist and a board-certified health and sports psychologist and now facilitates many support groups on topics related to brain injury and grief. She's got a book out called Coping with Concussion and Mild Traumatic Brain Injury. It's a guide to living with the challenges associated with post-concussion syndrome and brain trauma. The publisher is Avery Books. Dr. Stoller, thanks for being part of the show today. This is your specialty, but also you've lived the life, so to speak, in this regard. A little bit about how this affected you personally.
Yeah, I joke with my patients. I say I'm not only a club, the club president. I'm a client, and my story is that I was and still am a neuropsychologist and, as you said, a board-certified sports psychologist. In 1990, I was driving and had a cerebral bleed from a growth in my brain that bled out. I had an aneurysm and passed out and had a 60-mile-an-hour head-on auto accident. And then within 5 months later, I had brain surgery and had a portion of my brain removed. And the time I was out unconscious in that auto accident was less than an hour. And that is what the term concussion means, is that if you've been out unaware of your environment for less than an hour, briefly to an hour, that's considered a concussion. After that, it's moderate. And after 24 hours, it's considered a coma. But what's interesting is the symptoms that occur, you know, as I just said, I've had, you know, in that one span, it's the symptoms afterwards. It's not the event that we're talking about is post-concussion syndrome. And most of these symptoms that can be physical, they can be emotional, they can be behavioral, they can be cognitive, how you think. All these different symptoms I do have on my website and are in my book, Coping with Concussion, and on my website of drdiane.com, that for every symptom there is a method to get better. But back in 1994, I was told by every single doctor that saw me, neurologists, neurosurgeons, they turned to me in 1994 and said, you are permanently brain damaged. You're never, ever going to get better. And this is where my book and why I'm on the air is to give help and hope to let people know that the symptoms of a concussion, there is help and ways to get better.
All right. Well, let's do that now with Dr. Mike Roizen. Dr. Mike.
Diane, the part of the what you have in the title, Coping with Concussion, Mild Traumatic Brain Injury, is mild. And most people would say, what's the difference? I mean, it sounds what you had does not sound mild. What's the difference between mild and moderate and severe?
Well, that's what I was just saying. It's how long you've been unconscious. If you've been from briefly unaware of your environment to 1 hour, that is considered mild, or now the term is concussion. I have patients who've had a coma. That means that they've been unconscious for more than 24 hours.
So does that make it severe? In other words, in your title, mild traumatic brain injury, but you can be unconscious for a short period of time, but it be severe or not?
The consequences can be severe. In my personal situation, I was unconscious for less than an hour and had more symptoms than someone who's been in a coma for 9 months. Yes.
Now, let's go back to it's obviously, since you're a sports psychologist, this is right up your alley, but obviously this week Brett Favre made headlines, and the NFL has been making headlines all fall with the football-related traumatic brain injury and concussions afterwards. And Brett Favre said this past week that he doesn't remember his daughter playing in soccer games. First of all, what would you say to people whose kids want to play basketball or baseball or football? Is there a difference between the games, or does concussion occur in all of them?
Well, I'm going to address the first thing, is that I heard the same announcement, and they said that there is no method to help Brett Favre with his memory. And the fact is, I have an entire chapter on memory. And I want to talk about each of my chapters. Each of the chapters are for the different symptoms of post-concussion syndrome. Each one has a true story, how it's diagnosed, like the different types of memory, and then the ways of treatment from conventional methods to complementary methods to alternative methods, and including a practical suggestion. So, Brett, the fact is that Brett Favre can be helped and his memory to regain his memory again.
Yeah, but what would you tell, in other words, when we asked another expert on the brain, I would guess 3 or 4 weeks ago, who when we said, if your son came to you and said, I want to play football, Dad, what would you say? And his statement was he would buy him golf clubs. What's your feeling? Is football or is soccer or is, and you go into a number of sports in the games, is synchronized swimming so dangerous as you wouldn't let people play it? Or do you think the benefit outweighs the risk of these team games and you'd keep doing it yourself if you had the choice?
Well, to answer your question, and I address this in the book, is that the key is repetitive injury. If you allow the brain to heal, you can have as many injuries or more injuries in recreational sports than you have in organized sports. Is that the child who's on that swing, who falls off the swing, who hits their head, and they run to their mother, and all the mother is seeing is the bloody knee and is not addressing the injury to the brain, then that child may go on a roller coaster a week later, and the acceleration, deceleration can cause brain injury. Now, I really want to emphasize the difference between a head injury and a brain injury. You can have a head injury without a brain injury, but you can have a brain injury without having a head injury. And that's very important, is that we are physiologically designed with our scalp, our hair, our scalp, our skull, with the fluid around the brain, and that you can run as fast as you possibly can into a door, hit your head, you will get a goose egg on the outside of your head, you hit your head, but you haven't caused a brain injury. It's this, the fact that when you're going on rollerblading, when you're doing, jet skis, when you are doing certain sports, when you are accelerating faster than you would normally do that. Now, the old flag football, when they were not wearing helmets, people were not doing headbutting. So is that when you start going and wearing the helmets, and with younger children whose brains, the connective ability, the white matter has not been made to the frontal lobe yet, is that the brain is still developing between age 14 and 24. So the fact is that taking more risk and the repetition. Now, the term, and it's in my book, Second Impact Syndrome, if you have an injury and the brain has not healed, and then you have another injury, and it does not heal. The third, you're not having three injuries. The consequences is exponential, not arithmetic. It's not one plus one plus one.
Well, we're going to come back and talk to you more about this, Dr. Diane, drdiane.com. The book is Coping with Concussion and Mild Traumatic Brain Injury. I want to talk about executive function in the next segment, executive function, return of executive function, and recovery or brain rehabilitation, as Dr. Diane calls it. We'll be right back, Joe.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. And again, the book is published by Avery Books, Dr. Diane Stoller's book. It's a division of Penguin USA. 877-711-5211 on the telephone. It's udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com for your email comments and questions for Dr. Mike and our guest today on the show. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now.
The words you say to her today.
Can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Diane Roberts-Stoller is a health psychologist, and her book is called Coping with Concussion and Mild Traumatic Brain Injury. It's published by Avery Books. It's a division of Penguin. And here again is Dr. Mike Royson.
And the website for the book, drdiane.com. This is such an interesting book because it deals with all the things other than what I would call the learning and memory parts of brain dysfunction. So it talks about seizures, and it talks about anger, and it talks about all the other things that could happen to you, inability to focus, etc. So, Diane, the brain rehabilitation, talk to us about when that should start. And in other words, let's just say you have a concussion. How soon after that should you start to work on brain rehabilitation, and what areas should you work on?
Well, again, if it's the first time, I would tell someone to rest, cut out, nutrition's very important, cut out all sugar, cut out corn, cut out rice, and you want to get in protein, you want to rest, restorative sleep is very important. So, and most of the symptoms for the first time a concussion you have is usually will go away, the symptoms can go away in the first 4 weeks. If, because you might have had another concussion before that, or the food you're eating, is that you're seeing the symptoms lasting for more than a month or two, this is when you would go into brain rehab. I do have one of my young men who just came in, he was 12. It was about 10 weeks, and he was still having nausea. He was having headaches. When he's looking at his computer, it would dance. There could be light sensitivity. When he was reading, he could not remember things. So then we now go into the next phase, and what we might do, and this is, I have a 5-prong approach. I look at the physical, the psychological, emotional, spiritual, and energy. And if it is just physical, and we know that the brain has been dysregulated, we know the electrical system has been dysregulated, neurofeedback is wonderful. as I said, changing the person's diet. That's probably the first thing I start with, is we do change the nutrition, because what you're eating does affect your brain, the neurofeedback. If they, one of the executive issues, and also the age of the person who's having the injury, if the connective to the frontal lobe is where you are making your executive decisions is well intact, that's over 24, and you've had no injuries, you probably don't need the cognitive rehab as much as maybe a 10-year-old. Or I have a 21-year-old who we noticed got injured when he was about 14. So a speech and language pathologist is trained not only in speech and language, but also in cognitive, how to plan your day, how to organize your day. So once you see these symptoms are there, I have a chapter on all the different treatment modalities, why they work in certain circumstances and in certain states. Hyperbaric chamber is, you know, used, and it's covered by insurance. In Massachusetts here, it's not. I know in Florida and California it is, and also in Texas. So it's depending on what you can use your insurance for and, you know, who's available. And the book covers each one of these topics.
Now, one of the football players for the Miami Dolphins had what would be called an angry outburst at another one. Could that be part of a post-traumatic injury syndrome, or is that unrelated, do you think?
No, absolutely. It's one of the symptoms, again, that I put on my website, is that the irritability. I was, before my brain injury, very easygoing, and then during the period afterwards, it's called emotional labileness, and I was very edgy, and I became explosive at times, and that is when medication did help. Tylenol, which is used for low blood pressure, is used. It's a beta blocker.
It's used to create low blood pressure, right? To treat blood pressure elevations.
That's right. And it is it's a beta blocker, and it was recommended by my neurologist at the time, and it's in my book. I have under the pharmaceuticals that can help with this kind of area, and this is one of those that does. And but you need your doctor to work with you and your neurologist. Yes.
And that is one of the things that I like about this book. As I said, what was different about this book and many other books relating to brain injury is this didn't go just into the memory problems, but went into all those other things that occur around the injury. So it is drdiane.com and coping with concussions. So anger and irritability are common in this. So is the inability to concentrate. Isn't that true as well?
Absolutely. And one of the biggest areas that I have a whole chapter on this is grief, because the depression, what many people misunderstand is depression is the loss. You're running the show. If you couldn't remember what we just said a moment later, you couldn't follow up with questions, and so that would be a sense of loss. Is it a memory problem, or is it a connection or a processing problem? You may not be able to process what I'm saying versus a true memory problem. So, is that what is interesting is the brain has these wonderful connective hubs, and that I try to explain to people is that if you're trying to get to Boston and you're trying to go to New York City, you might have to go to Chicago, but if Chicago's out, it doesn't mean Boston's out or New York's out. It's that Chicago's out. And this is where neurofeedback and the cognitive rehab helps to retrain the brain, as I said.
And if you understood that analogy, you don't have the problem. But it is it is drdiane.com, coping with concussions and mild traumatic brain injury. Thank you very much for a very, very informative book and a great section and a great segment. We're now going to do the Real Age Tip of the Week. The Real Age Tip this week is on healing chronic low back pain. Yes, it's like curing the common cold. Whoever figures this out definitively will probably win a Nobel Prize, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a lifetime pass to Disneyland and probably Disney World too. Some tips: don't stay in bed. Take anti-inflammatory drugs, not narcotics. Don't get x-rays for the first 4 weeks. Get them after that. 70% of you will heal within that first 4 weeks or be on the way to healing, and you'll avoid the x-rays. And try 20 minutes twice a day icings. We also strongly recommend yoga or stretching exercises taught by a physical therapist. Have that person put them on your iPhone or Android so you can see them. Set your alarm clock every 4 hours so you wake up. Find a once-a-week class that lasts for 12 weeks. Try your local hospital, and then practice at home for 20 minutes a day, 3 days a week. Stick with it. And that's the Real Age Tip of the Week, Joe.
And this is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royson on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.